Welcome to another episode of Romance Romp. I'm your host, Keeney Allen. Today, I have author Macy Yates with me. Macy is a New York Times and USA Today bestselling author, so thank you so much for joining me, Macy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure, you're welcome. So first, I always like to get to know a little bit about my guests as far as how they started reading romance. So can you tell me a little bit about how you started reading romance?
Yeah, so my mom didn't read romance at all. My mom is actually like kind of a romance heroine. She was raised by her single dad, and she has three brothers. And so there was none of that in her house. She didn't have any exposure to it. My dad is one of five boys, but his mom read romance. So my grandma read romance all the time. And I mean, if you have five boys, I mean, I could definitely see how, you know, that was her escape for sure. And, but always to me, it was definitely, I had that idea in my head that like, those are the books my grandma reads. And that was the only time I ever saw them. And I hear all these people talk about how they stole them from their mom and that's how they started reading them really young. But I didn't really have that kind of opportunity. And what I read a lot of was like inspirational fiction.
Okay.
And I was always so happy when there was a romance in it, or when I was reading YA, same thing. Like I lived for the romance in those books. And I remember reading this book by Lori Wick called The Princess that was about a convenient marriage between a princess and a prince. And it was, this is inspirational fiction. It's not classified as romance. And I remember being like, I love this. I wish there were more books like this. And then I found at the Book Exchange, A Harlequin Presents. And I was like, I think I want to read this. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, it's an entire line of that book that I liked. You know, that's, it's all like marriages of convenience and princesses. And like, I was so excited. And I discovered this genre that I was like, this is only the good parts of the books. Like all these books I've been reading all my life, you know, and I was about 21 at the time. So I'm not a super young romance reader as it, like I run into people all the time. They've been reading it since they were 13, 14 years old. And so I was kind of, I was late to that. But I just remember I was so excited because I was like, these are the books I've been searching for all of my life. So it was a revelation.
Sure. So what is it that you like about romance?
I love so much that you get to go on this journey, this complete emotional journey with the characters, and you know it's going to end well. Because you have, you can have all the emotions and you can fling yourself into that kind of the despair and the, you know, the tragedy of the past and all this stuff, but you know there's a reward at the end. And I think that's so satisfying instead of having to kind of go through a traumatic read that then ends traumatically as well to ask me to invest in these characters. And then, you know, and then, and I just love, I love reading about love. I love reading about falling in love. I love that. I love swooning. I want the romantic connection. I like the sexy scenes. I like everything about romance.
That's great. Yeah. I think, I mean, every reader, I think, has a different perspective by it, but I think that's one of the things that really keeps all of us reading romance. We all have that same, like, we're really here for those happily ever afters and that very satisfying end and knowing that these characters are going to go through some stuff, but at the end, it's going to be fine. They're going to have worked it out, you know. Yeah. Are there any particular subgenres that you like to read?
I love historical romance. So that's kind of my big, that's like my big thing as a reader. And I think I've kind of settled into that because it is not what I write. And that gives me escapism, I think. But I'm currently in a romance book club. And that Megan Crane and I, Megan Crane / Caitlin Cruz, are running a book club at our local indie store. And that is really, you know, I'll choose a favorite of mine and then she'll choose a favorite of hers. And we have very different taste. And then, or we'll choose one that neither of us have read. And I think that's pushing me to read a little bit more in all the subgenres as we try to really expose the people coming to our group, some of whom are new to romance, to different, to the kind of breadth of the genre. It's kind of doing that for me too. So, so that's really cool.
Well, that's wonderful. So how long have the two of you been running that book club?
We're going on, 6 months, I think.
We actually have it tonight.
So, it's been really, really fun and it has created a lot of interesting discussions and we've had people show up because it is an independent bookstore. They don't expect it to be romance friendly. And so we get an interesting mix of people, a lot of people who don't understand how you could possibly have a book club about a romance novel. Mm-hmm. And we get some haters that show up. And, you know, it's great. We spend a lot of time talking about what their kind of presuppositions are about the genre and why they feel that way. Mm-hmm. And why do you feel a happy ending is more predictable than a sad ending? Because somebody told us, well, I just prefer books that have a sad ending. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but you still kind of know going in.
Right.
You know it's going to end badly. So why is that less predictable to you? Mm-hmm. And so kind of having these discussions has been really fun and really interesting. And then, of course, what we really love is just talking about how much we love the book with mm-hmm. the people who love it too. So it's been a great experience.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I think more people... I mean, I can only speak for myself, so I'll speak for myself. I think for myself, my local independent bookstore, they don't carry a lot of romance, or if they do, it's kind of like tucked away into other things. And so I feel hesitant to like contact them and say like, hey, we should try this thing. Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, the way that they already display romance makes me feel like they're not interested. And I'm probably making assumptions that I shouldn't. so that gives me hope to know that there's other independent bookstores that are, you know, trying to be more romance friendly.
Yeah. Our owner and manager at our bookstore, Rebel Heart, Eileen and Marcella, they're gems. Like, they're just so fantastic. And the owner, she really wasn't a big romance reader. She had read like The Wolf and the Dove years and years ago, and she loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely was obsessed with it when she was like 17. Mm-hmm. And then really didn't read romance after she graduated from college. Mm-hmm. And then the manager, she was a bookseller at Barnes & Noble for years and years, and she actually does love romance and she reads it, but they weren't carrying it. Mm. And Megan and I went in and had a talk with them about the genre, and we really got them enthused about it. And it's great because we've turned the owner into a romance reader.
That's awesome.
And our book club is like definitely the favorite book club. So it's just been super cool. I was like, we're romance evangelists. We totally like, and we're doing like great events at the store, and it's just signings and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely worth having the conversation. I think it was I'm so glad that we did. I'm so glad that we have that connection to the store now, because I can't imagine not being involved with it now. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So you really like historical. So within mm-hmm. historical, are there any favorite tropes that you really like to read?
I am so here for like the rake and the virgin, just in general. I love when like she's compromised and they have to get married because like he saw her ankle somewhere. There's a Miranda Neville, and I'm not going to remember the title, but the hero is a duke and he's dyslexic mm-hmm. and he just kind of acts like a dick mm-hmm. and like, but because like nobody understands like what it is that people didn't understand learning disabilities.
Sure.
And everybody communicated in writing, and the entertainment was reading, and like he has no access to that. So he just seems kind of shallow and mean, and the heroine just hates him. Mm-hmm. And she's got a migraine, and she's like laying down in the drawing room, and he comes in and he thinks that she's another woman. And so he like, because he's supposed to be meeting someone in there mm-hmm. and they get caught in this compromising position that's actually completely, you know, she was kind of like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. And somebody comes in and turns, you know, and they see them and they have to get married. And like, I love that. I love when they just like, what is it? Devil in Winter. And he like carries her off to Scotland, and they of course have to get married. And, you know, so uh-huh. I'm totally here for that.
That's awesome. I hardly ever read historical, but you've just sold me on that trope within historical. So that I'm going to have to go look up that book.
I can at you like extensive recs. Okay. So, you know, anytime.
Okay. Fantastic. So are there any books coming out soon that you're really looking forward to?
I just have to like think of what month it actually is. Mm-hmm. I think Cowboy Seal Redemption by Nicole Helm is out now. She's definitely like been my favorite Western author for a while, uh-huh. who also writes contemporary Westerns. And then Megan Crane has one coming out under Caitlin Cruz, and it's called, I think it's called A True Cowboy Christmas. And I have read an advanced copy of it.
Okay.
And it's fantastic. I love it. So I'm really excited for that one. And then like for me personally, one I haven't read, I'm waiting for The Hollow of Fear by Sherry Thomas. I just started reading her Lady Sherlock series.
Okay.
And it's fantastic. And they're not really romances, I guess, but there is definitely a romance in it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just so fun. Like I used to read mysteries when I was a kid. So that's been a really fun kind of thing to get into. Mm-hmm. And I'm also really enjoying Harlequin's new Dare line.
Okay.
Yeah, none of that's historical, but I feel like I've been like pushing, you know, outside of my stuff lately. Mm-hmm. But I've been enjoying Claire Connolly's Dares, and I think she has another one out next month, and so does Jackie Ashenden, and Zara Cox amazing. Her erotic stuff is fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen all those, but I don't think I've read any of them except for Nicole Helm. I'm a big fan. She had that series where they were like based around like farmers market, or they were like
That was my Helm gateway drug.
Yes.
That's kind of how I know her. I mean, I had met her before. And I was like, I'm in a reading slump. I literally can't finish anything. Uh-huh. I've DNF'd like 1,000 things. And she was like, let me send you. And I'm not a huge contemporary romance reader either, like as a rule, which is funny. That's what I write. But I just don't usually. And she was like, can I send you this first book in my farmer's market series? Uh-huh. And I was like, sure. But I thought, you know, I'm not going to be able to finish it. It's not my thing. And I inhaled it. I read it in one night. I loved it so much. That's is it Del and Mia are the hero and heroine? I still remember. Like that was, yeah. So I love her books. That was, and then I love her too. I've gotten to know her, but like my gateway to her was reading, like as a person and a writer, was that book.
Yeah, for me.
And I was like, we could be friends.
For me, I think she really turned me on to like the whole grumpy hero. Like that was probably always a thing that I'd seen in books, but like I feel like she really wrote them so well that now when I'm like a grumpy hero, I love that. I must read it.
Yes, Wes in that same series. I think Wes is my favorite hero.
Yeah.
So grumpy. Yeah. A grumpy virgin dog treat maker war veteran. That's like so much catnip, I can't even deal.
Exactly. So that was wonderful. All right. So I made a note of all of these things. I'll have to look for them. And especially the historical, like I said, you're really selling it to me. You're really excited about it. So I always love that. All right. So we're going to take a quick pause to hear a message from our sponsor. But when we get back, I'll be talking to Macy more about her experience as an author and her most recent release. Wonder Book and Video connects over 2 million books with readers each year and has been serving book lovers for over 35 years. With locations in Frederick, Hagerstown, and Gaithersburg, Maryland, Wonder Book and Video is the only place you'll ever need to find your next read. And yes, Wonder Book and Video has a huge variety of romance novels from which to choose. Can't find something in the store? Check out wonderbook.com to get 15% off your next romance novel purchase in-store or online with promo code ROMROMP. That's ROMROMP. Wonder Book and Video, a book lover's paradise. All right, so before the break, we talked about your experience as a reader and all the books that you read and are excited about. So can you tell me a little bit about how you evolved from a reader of romance to an author of romance?
I think it was a pretty quick transition all up. I had always written, like here and there. I mean, you learn how to write stories. They have you start writing fiction in first grade. Mm-hmm. And I remember learning to use quotation marks. And I was like, this is revolutionary. This is the thing I needed to know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, always kind of really enjoying that when we would do creative writing in school and doing it at home on my own time. But I never finished anything. And it was very much that I was kind of parroting whatever it was I was reading. So like middle grade action adventure, like I was like, I'm going to write female hatchet, you know. And so I was always kind of fiddling with things like that all growing up and through school. But when I picked up my first Harlequin Presents, I read like 300 of them in my first year. I went crazy. I was like, this is my heart. Mm-hmm. Like I have found what my soul loves. And so as a writer, it was that same thing. It clicked into place and I thought, I want to write one of these. Mm-hmm. And I read so many of them. I was like, I feel like I get it. I feel like I get what the line's about, what these books are about, and I'm going to try to do it. And of course, it was super hard. And I entered one of Harlequin's contests because I thought, I had a lot of authors come to my school when I was a kid, which is a great thing when you get to meet an author and see that they're real people who were like you at one time, you know. And I remember all of them saying universally, you're going to get rejected so many times. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to be able to wallpaper your room with your rejections. And that part always kind of scared me.
Sure.
But Harlequin was doing this contest called Instant Seduction. I think this was probably in 2008.
Okay.
2007. Yeah, it was a while ago. And I remember thinking I could enter a contest, and if my first chapter doesn't get picked, that's fine. It's like a primer for rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a first chapter, and it was short, and it was awful. And I entered the contest, and then while I was waiting, I started what would have been the sequel to that book.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had written about half of that book when the contest results were announced, and I got like a thanks but no thanks, like kind of standard rejection. And I was like, oh, well, but I'm halfway through this other book.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to keep writing, because that wasn't that bad. I survived it. And so that was how I ended up writing my first book, was mm-hmm. that I had kind of kept going while I was waiting, and then I was in too deep to quit, and I was kind of committed to going forth and getting that first real rejection, which I then didn't get.
Okay.
I ended up selling my first book. Now, I've received many rejections since then,
mm-hmm.
While I've, tried to branch out into other things and do other kinds of writing, but I did sell my first book, so that was cool.
Sure. And so I don't know, I don't have the writer's mind, but I can imagine that after you've sold a first book, like being rejected isn't, I mean, of course it's still painful and probably makes you feel sad or whatever, but it probably isn't as impactful as like the first one.
Yeah, I think at that point it was a good way to learn.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely a learning experience, because when I started getting rejections was going from category to single title romance, my cowboy books.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk about category, what I mean is like Harlequin Presents, Harlequin Desire. And when I talk about single title, what I mean is books that don't have that kind of Harlequin branding on them, and they're usually longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that process of selling outside of category was really interesting, because the market is really different, the considerations are really different, and so it was like I knew I could write a book.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I could write a book that people would enjoy reading, and so you're right, I think definitely having had that assurance,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't as difficult, but it was so actually I think it helped me put rejections in their place.
Mm-hmm.
Where sometimes you realize genuinely it's just not where publishing is at the moment. I was trying to sell before 50 Shades of Grey came out, and whatever you think about that book, it reinvigorated contemporary romance.
Absolutely.
Which, mm-hmm. believe me, I couldn't get a deal in contemporary romance, and then I got a digital deal that then turned into a print deal as the market began to change. So it's timing. I learned a lot about timing.
Mm-hmm.
And how sometimes that's the primary issue with selling.
Mm-hmm.
So it was I'm glad that I went through it all, because I think of everything as a learning experience.
Sure.
For sure.
Absolutely. I'll get to your new book, but first I just want to say thank you for explaining the difference between category and single title. I've been reading and kind of in this a long time that I kind of know, but not everybody does. And I know when I was just a reader, it took me a really long time to understand what that meant. Like, what does it mean?
I'm always happy to explain anything if I get going where I'm being confusing, because I think it's easy to forget that
mm-hmm.
if somebody's not living on this side of the industry 24 hours a day, it's so easy to use shorthand that
right.
I think people just come in and pick up a book.
Exactly.
They don't know. And why should they? That's not their job. It's my job to know all of that stuff. It's
right.
not anyone else's.
Right. The difference between category or Harlequin Presents, or like you said, Desires or whatever, and then your own kind of series. But yeah. So, but yeah, like I said, as a reader, it took me a long time to understand, like, what are you talking about? Or just tell me it's a book. What it's about. Okay. So your newest book, Untamed Cowboy, released on June 19th. So can you give me a synopsis of this book, please?
Yes. So Untamed Cowboy is about a sexy cowboy veterinarian named Bennett Dodge and his best friend, Kaylee.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaylee has been in love with Bennett since she was in high school. But Bennett is also, Bennett and his whole family are like the most important thing to Kaylee, and she would never do anything to compromise that relationship. Plus, Bennett was in a really serious relationship with a woman named Olivia, who's actually the heroine of the previous book, Smooth Talking Cowboy, for a long time. And so, you know, Kaylee would have never done anything to disrupt that either. And so she's kind of kept herself, you know, in the friend zone, for lack of a better, like she's put herself there. She's like, I'm not going to move on this. I can, she's had relationships. She does tries valiantly to kind of not go there in her head, even though it's really hard because they work together. Kaylee's a veterinarian too. They have their own practice together. And then what happens is, so Bennett's girlfriend has broken up with him, so he's single, and all his plans for his life have kind of spun out of control. And then right at the perfect time, Child Services shows up with his 15-year-old son that he didn't know he had. And so as that kind of, as his life, and he's a control freak, and as all of that kind of spins out of control, him and Kaylee end up getting closer in some interesting ways. And so that is basically the story. It's kind of, it's an advanced secret baby and friends to lovers story. And it was really fun to write, especially with all the animals and things I got to have in there, with them being veterinarians, which was also something kind of different and fun for me. And friends to lovers is not different for me. I write them all the time. It's my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing to write.
Well, that's awesome. So yeah, so this is very interesting to me, and I wrote down on my notes secret baby, but I like how you called it an advanced secret baby, because typically, from at least what I've read, for secret baby, how it works is that it's like the biological mom and the biological dad that get back together once the baby is discovered. So this one's kind of like that, but different, obviously, because Kaylee's not the mother. But Secret Baby is one of my favorite tropes. I love it. So I am reading the book now. I just, you know, it's overwhelming to read all these books sometimes, and I'm about a third way through. So I'm still, they're still kind of like seeing each other in a new light, which I love. Although Kaylee's, it's clear that she's always kind of pined for him. But now that he doesn't have Olivia in his life, he's starting to see her differently. And so I love that.
Yay!
Yeah. Friends to lovers is a great trope, too. And of course, I love pining and angstiness. So, yeah.
Me, too.
Yeah.
I love unrequited love. It's just like, you know, that I could do. Oh, that's it. That's another historical I have to recommend to you. It's Seduce Me at Sunrise. I think it's Elisa Claypass. The pining in that book is off the charts.
Okay.
Anyway, pining is my favorite thing.
Yeah. I, last month in May, I participated with a bunch of other bloggers, and Anna Kokey, I'm not sure how you say it. I always get it messed up with that, hashtag rom book love. And, two of the tropes that I covered were secret baby and unrequited love. So
awesome.
Yeah, because those are some of my favorites. So this book is number 2 in the Gold Valley series. So before this was Olivia and Luke?
Yes.
Okay. And did they have a whole book, or was that just a novella?
No, they had a whole book. And it was really fun because I had introduced Olivia and Bennett back in the Copper Ridge series. And Kaylee a little bit too, but not Luke. Luke didn't show up till Gold Valley. But I knew that I was going to kind of introduce Bennett and Olivia as a couple and then break them up. And I was like, that's really tricky, because then what you have is like two people who don't, they have to both be good enough to be the heroine and hero of their own stories, but they have to clearly not have chemistry with each other. And it's really funny because it's like, I think people didn't like Olivia when she was in these other books, but then they liked her in hers, and then everybody hated Bennett. So now I was like, now I'm on like this uphill battle to be like, no, Bennett's okay. Like, it's really, it's them. It's not either of them. Yeah, so Luke and Olivia got a whole book. I needed a whole book to get everyone on her team. and now Bennett needs his book so that people can be, it's, you know, Team Olivia and Team Bennett. You could be both.
Yeah, and that must be really tricky if you've given them, you know, a story before, because you don't want people to dislike them, but you just want people to understand that that relationship that they're in doesn't work. And that's okay. Like, you know, sometimes.
I think chemistry is such an interesting thing. And as a writer, that was kind of something I wanted to explore. The idea, and I think it was true for both of them, and especially Olivia in Smooth Talking Cowboy, that Bennett was the man she wanted to love. Because he was perfect for her on paper. But she doesn't have chemistry with him. She just doesn't. And she wants to. He's handsome and he's great, but he doesn't do for her what Luke does. Like, she just... And Luke drives her insane, and she's known him forever, and he's not perfect for her. And, you know, but he is. And I think, you know, that was what was so fun to explore as a writer. And then same with Bennett and Kaylee, where it's like, but there's these things that are kind of inevitable, and you can plan them, but you cannot plan love. You can't, like, love is not math. And emotion isn't math. So you can kind of try. So it was really great to have these two control freak characters and put them with these other people. And be like, no matter how hard you tried to plan it, you couldn't make yourself love the person who made the most sense, kind of in air quotes. You know, you that the heart wants what it wants, as Selena Gomez says.
And, you know, love is messy. So,
yeah,
it just is. It just is. So Gold Valley is kind of a spinoff of Copper Ridge. Okay. But they're all independently read, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's always like crossover characters and things like that. But I would say that it would be fine to hop in at any point or just read the ones that appeal to you trope wise, which is totally understandable and something that I do even when I love an author. It's like there's certain stories that don't appeal to me, you know, and certain ones that do. And so I try to make everything kind of self-contained. But then I think there's a lot of really fun buildup and crossover if you do read them in order. But, you know, it's definitely not necessary.
When I started reading romance, I read a lot of Susan Mallory and Jill Shalvis, where they kind of write, you know, a lot of different stories, but in a, like the same town or same like same proximity or, you know, kind of crossover. And I just loved that, the way it feels to kind of go back, and maybe it's not the exact same people, but you kind of know a little bit about them already or like where they are. So but just, you know, as I started reading more, I don't read a ton of series, but you know, I'm kind of all over the place, but it's just, there's a lot of books out there.
Yes, there are.
It's hard. It's hard to be a reader sometimes. Okay, so why like cowboys, ranches, Oregon? Why all of that?
Oregon, because I'm an Oregon girl.
Okay.
And so I always wanted to kind of, with Harlequin Presents, which is where I was first published, it was definitely all about that kind of international, aspirational, big money kind of feel. Which is super funny because that could not be more opposite to my life. I had never been anywhere when I started writing those. So everything was super fantasy based to me. I was like, well, whatever I can find on Google. So I liked the idea of doing something that was much more in line with my actual life.
Okay.
Especially because if I'm going to write so many books, and I do write a lot of books, it's great to have the editorial be so different because it gives my brain kind of a break. So for me, Oregon was the logical choice. I've lived here my entire life. I love it here. I would spread, you know, how wonderful Oregon is far and wide. So the setting was to me like a great chance to show parts of Oregon. I think people think of Portland. And that's this tiny spot up in the top of the state. We won't get into my regional rage about Portland. I live 5 hours away from there.
Okay.
You know, so it's like, I think to give the sense of the size of the state and how actually rugged and mountainous and gorgeous it is, you know, so that was kind of fun. Plus I've known ranchers and cowboys all my life. I live around ranches and wineries, and really all the settings that I use in my books are kind of what I see in my backyard. And cowboys came about in kind of a funny way, because they were not a big thing when I started writing them back in probably 2013. And so I saw a picture of a guy online. I was looking for inspiration. I knew that I wanted to try to write something different than the category books. And so I started thinking about what that would be. And I saw this picture of a guy, shirtless guy, cowboy hat with a saddle on his shoulder, kind of out in the field. And I was like, that's my hero. So it wasn't like a conscious decision that this would be like a thing that I was going to do. It was just that one guy, you know. And so that was Cole Mitchell, who became the hero of my first single title, Unexpected. And then when my agent sent that manuscript out, the people who were interested asked, is it going to be a series? And I said, well, it could be.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to think of a couple other cowboys.
Sure.
Which I did. And so that was kind of the ranch was the unifier. And so that kind of started it. And then when Harlequin was interested in doing single title with me, they said, I think we're going to want you to do more cowboys. And I said, okay. So it all kind of came from a picture. And now I'm like deep in it and I love it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the right place for me because a lot of because they're kind of the perfect hero type, I think, for me. I think the small town heroes, I'm generalizing and I probably shouldn't even say it, but they're a little bit more like a nicer type of guy, mm-hmm. a lot of the time. Or you get like the ex-military guys, and then I think that's kind of code for they're going to be kind of the alpha dude.
Right.
But I feel like that's the same thing with cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's I have just a more like you know, I come from Harlequin Presents and all of that, and it's like my heroes just have that little kind of edge to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for me, like in the kind of small town thing, those are like the perfect kinds of heroes for me to be writing.
Sure.
So
I
kind of fell into it. It wasn't a logical decision at all, but then I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense.
Oh, no, I understand. Yeah, I'm from the East Coast, and so I don't see a lot of ranches. But last year, my stepsister and I did a cross country, and we drove through, like, Montana and lots of ranches and stuff. And I was like, now every ranch hero that I read about is going to be – this is what it's going to look like in my mind. So – there's that. And I, you know, I try to mix it up with ranchers or cowboys and stuff like that. But I mean, I mostly read contemporary. So I did see on your website that Grant gets a story in August. And I'm super interested in that because I love the trope where the hero or heroine has lost a spouse and then they have to find love again. I mean, I hate that they have to go through that pain, mm-hmm. but I love seeing them, you know, find new love. So I'm definitely excited about
that. I love writing that too. And I think it's because I'm always like, I've written so many widowers, man. Mm-hmm. But I really think that what I like about it as a writer is that grief is a universal thing.
Mm-hmm.
We understand, I think we innately understand loss.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something impacting about getting to write that. And I think it hits people all in different ways. And it's just really, to me, it's the ultimate in satisfying that idea that love is healing and that love is redemptive. And mm-hmm. I think, and that love, and that you have more love in you, even when you think you don't, even when you think it's been used up or you're too scared. And I think also that love is brave.
Mm-hmm.
I think the choice to love, like I said, having written a few widowers, it's like having them come to that place where it's like choosing to love is not a weakness. It's a strength because they know the cost of that love.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's to me, it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something I find very satisfying to write as a writer. So I love it that readers respond to it as well, because it means I get to keep writing it.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so this is a great segue into my next note that I wanted to mention as you're talking about love. So the dedication in this book to your husband, Haven, it was just wonderful. Like, I love that. I'm one of those readers that I will read, like, I'll read the whole book, including like the foreword and the after and all those things. So I just thought that your dedication to him was fantastic.
Thank you. We are. I mean, this is why I like to write friends to lovers.
Mm-hmm.
We are the original RL friends to lovers. So we used to work together at a coffee shop at our church,
uh-huh.
and went to like one of those really big churches, like 5,000 people out here in the middle of nowhere. And seriously,
mm-hmm.
and so he was like my manager at the coffee place.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
And I know. And I was 17 when I started working there, and he's 8 years older than I am.
Okay.
But we became really good friends,
mm-hmm.
and we all hung out in a group, and we were really, really good friends. And it sounds like a book, and it's really funny because like sometimes I'll tell the story and kind of forget to put this part in because it's convoluted, but I'll tell you. We were hanging out a lot and we were really good friends. And then it started to be where we were like hanging out sometimes by ourselves a lot. And like, it was like, I saw him like every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was like my best friend. And I think I was 18 at that point. And this girl called him mm-hmm. from up in Portland, so mm-hmm. living 5 hours north, mm-hmm. and said, my boyfriend proposed to me, but I'm in love with you and I've been in love with you for years. So if there's any chance that things could work out between the two of us, I won't tell him yes. Now, he never dated her or uh-huh. anything like that. So, like, this was, like, out of the blue. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being, like, consumed by jealousy. Mm-hmm. Like, just absolutely. And I was going, I don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. He's my friend. I shouldn't right. care. It was very much like a book mm-hmm. where you're going, I don't know what I feel and I don't know why I feel it. And it's funny to me because I've talked to other writers who are like, I don't write friends to lovers because I just don't understand how people could miss mm-hmm. that attraction, or they could miss. And, you know, so for me, like, I can speak to the experience of, you know, he was older than me, so I didn't think he'd think of me that way. Mm-hmm. He was someone I worked with, and it was like, it was a gradual moving from him being like an older guy that I knew, mm-hmm. you know, that was like my boss at work, to being a friend, and then to being like, hey, wait a second, I don't want any other woman over here.
Right.
And so I remember, you know, saying to him, well, whatever you tell her, someone's going to get hurt. Uh-huh. And that was when he was like, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to tell her no and see how things go with you. So, and I just knew I was going to marry him right at that moment. I just knew. So
that's so wonderful. And really, that is just a terrible burden that she would have put on him. Like,
I know. And I will say she did marry that guy, and I do not think it lasted.
I mean, well, you know, everybody was young, so, but still, what a terrible burden to be like, I'm in love with you, and him be like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So other than reading and writing, do you have any other hobbies?
I am, like, of late an insane crafter.
Okay.
I have a Cricut, which is like a cutting machine where you like put the you put your design into the thing and it cuts on different materials. So I'm like an iron-on fiend. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like making, and like really I've only been into it for a couple months. I've mm-hmm. always done art other than writing. Like mm-hmm. I've painted and drawn and stuff. I'm so left-handed, I'm non-functional. So I can't do a single math equation to save my life, but most creative things I've like done a little bit at. But I'm really impatient. Mm-hmm. So painting is tough for me because like if you do oil painting, you have to like let it dry and I hate it. So the crafting stuff has been really fun for me. And it gives me an outlet, a creative outlet that's not, connected in any way to like a job mm-hmm. because that's the thing about writing all the time is that writing has been a creative outlet for me for most of my life, and now it's my job. So while it still kind of serves that function, there's just enough logic that has to enter into the equation that it's nice to have something that's just totally mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
And I can make iron on owls and stuff. So, you know, that's kind of my, that's one of my big hobbies.
That sounds awesome. So you're left-handed?
I am.
Me too. So I feel a special kinship now with you. Because
so left-handed, and my husband is left-handed, and none of our kids are left-handed.
Really? That's so interesting. Yeah, I'm left-handed. My son probably should have been left-handed, but yeah, I'm like, maybe that's why no one can read your writing, but that's fine. Yeah, so I always feel a special kinship with other left-handed people because right-handed people don't understand how hard it is for us.
The spiral notebook situation is out of control.
Out of control.
And all the, I mean, this is what I was saying. I used to draw a lot too. And it's like, well, then you just have mm-hmm. graphite all over your arm.
Right. And then inevitably some kid in school would be like, what happened to your hand? And then you're like, I don't know. It's just how
or, you know, every time you sit down to eat, someone has to be like, southpaw, huh?
Yeah. Exactly. And it's like, just let me be. I mean, I can't use the scissors, but if you could just let me be, that would be great. But yes. Yeah. So what's next for you?
More cowboys. That's okay. Kind of what I'm in the, that's what I'm working on right now is mm-hmm. more Gold Valley.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of a new family, which you will get a glimpse of in these first four books that are coming out this year. This year's books are all about the Dodge family. Olivia and Luke are connected to them, not by blood, but mm-hmm. through like kind of a close thing. Bennett Dodge is her ex-boyfriend and Luke is a good family friend. And then we kind of move into the stories about the Dodge family and then get into the Dalton family.
Okay.
Which has been, they've been really fun. And I'm wrapping up any, well, I guess there's a book in between that's kind of neither, but it's because in Copper Ridge there was a winery and I wanted to make sure all those characters got their happy ending going forward. So that's one reason it's a big crossover, is to make sure any characters that anyone might want to see get a happy ending gets mm-hmm. it. So that's what I'm working on now. And then I'm also kind of, I don't have any Harlequin Presents coming out in 2018, but I'm back on the schedule in 2019. So okay. I'm working on Harlequin Presents. So that's been really fun.
Okay, that's great to know. So will you be at any conferences or signings this year coming up soon?
Yes, I have. Let me think. Now I have to go through my brain. I will be in Denver. I'll be signing at the literacy signing, the Readers for Life signing there. And then I will be in Australia.
Oh, wow.
At the conference there. And I will be doing a reader event with ERRA in Sydney, ARRA. Mm-hmm. And then in September, I will be in the Boston area doing a signing at Starcat Books with Jackie Ashenden and Megan Crane.
Okay.
And I will also be at KissCon in October in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Avon's KissCon. So, and then there's, I believe I will be in Decatur at the book festival there in September too. So I'm super busy.
Yeah,
I will be lots
like
of
it.
Places, signing lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably in New Orleans at Book Lovers Con next May.
Oh, yeah. That's the new one that's kind of taking over RT, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I keep watching that one to see who's coming. So, because it's close
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, I love New Orleans. So I was like, you know, that it, any excuse to go down and eat beignets and hang out with readers, it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, I better look at that one. Well, and so... The readers are hopefully listeners. If they're in any of those areas, they can help or they can, you know, find you at one of those events. It sounds like you have tons to choose from, which is fantastic.
Yes.
So that was really about all I had for you today, Macy. I really appreciate you taking time to chat with me.
Absolutely.
I'll make sure to link to your website so that listeners can find the new book and all the books that they're interested in. Like, and then I'm sure they link to the e-tailer of their choice. But again, I really appreciate you taking time to chat with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much. You have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Romance Romp is produced by Graham Cullen, Chris Sands, and me. Theme music provided by Kelsey Luce. Follow me on Twitter at KiniLei1, that's KiniLei1, to stay up to date on all new Romance Romp episodes.